Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, August 30th, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Don't go.
So,
hello.
You know, just to round up the agenda for today, so you all know what to prepare, and we're teasing once again. We're going to talk about the honor rally in D.C. We're going to talk about the slow economy and some stuff about GM that might tie into that. We'll talk a little bit about the primaries that just finished up across the country. And then we'll finish up with some random stuff. We might talk a little bit about the ex-head of the GOP who came out of the closet this last week. Or we may throw a couple other random things in there. We'll see how it goes. In any case, first, the honor rally is, I guess, what it was called. This was basically... Yeah, it was this just headlined by Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin, right?
Those two people.
Now, I watched none of this. I did not listen to any of the speeches.
I did not watch any of it either, but I tried to read about what the... What were they doing? I still don't really understand what the whole thing was about. The honor rally. Because we need to restore honor to America. My question is, who dishonored it?
Well,
I mean, who are they? Who did?
The Muslims, the commies, and the fags. Come on.
I guess. Oh, God.
And those damn liberals.
Okay. There. I'm trying to understand this damn thing, and I'm just like,
is this another one of those typical? I mean. The GOP has had an interesting problem. I mean, they've always had an interesting problem that they've had sort of an odd coalition of different kinds of conservatives. But I think this has been really emphasized in sort of these Tea Party things. And this was kind of billed as a Tea Party-ish event, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, it didn't. Well, no.
Okay.
I was reading about it, and that's the one thing that they were trying to make it like it wasn't a Tea Party event. So honestly, I wound up looking at it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this all about? And then, of course, the whole controversy about him picking, you know, the day that, you know, the anniversary of
Martin Luther King's speech.
I Have a Dream speech, which, of course, you know, very eloquently on Comedy Central, Jon Stewart says, you know, when Glenn Beck said that he had no idea that that date coincided, he just looked at the calendar and he figured that, you know, that was an open date. And look, I got to admit, I'm going to say this. I would have had, I honestly, I don't remember the date off the top of my head.
Absolutely not. Like, you know, I would have no idea either. Like, if I remembered anything about Martin Luther King at all, it's Martin Luther King Day in January, which is his birthday. You know, not the date of the speech. I would
now.
Have no
I would admit
idea.
That if I'm planning such an enormous event, I would have thought to look up the calendar to figure out what the fuck happened on that date. Okay, you're going to have...
Or you know, even if he didn't, Lincoln. You know, when you're organizing something that big, there are enough people involved.
The one thing
involved.
Is that actually, Jon Stewart actually did give him credit and said, he said that he had no idea, and I gotta be honest, I believe him.
Yeah.
He said, you know, a little facetiously, but yeah, just, you know, so, but I have... These events are just kind of like weird.
Yeah, you know, I've said before, like, I am not a fan of, like, political rallies and marches and all this kind of crap. And I don't care whether I agree with the people or not. I just think they're stupid. I think they're annoying. I think they don't serve... I mean, yeah, okay, they're raising awareness and you get solidarity and all these groups sign up a lot of people and get them on their mailing lists. But I just... I don't know. I don't. If I agree with you completely on something, and then I see you having one of these stupid ass marches, my opinion of you is diminished, not improved. You know. And if I already disagree with you, you know, you're just, yeah. I already think you're stupid. So, but you know, the thing is, getting back, I think this is, you know, And I haven't paid enough attention to what these guys are saying, but the typical problem that, you know, these folks have been having in recent times is trying to find a unifying thing that all these different branches of conservatives can sort of get together around.
Right. And because just being angry is not really a good election time ploy. Historically, it hasn't worked.
That all depends. You know, like if we get to the election, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and the economy is still sucking, and Obama
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Look
at the primary. Look at what happened in the primaries. You know, you remember how McCain was in trouble? All the incumbents are in trouble. They're not going to win. Bop, the bop, 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 bop. Guess what? How did McCain win? Landslide. You know, I think it's all bullshit. Because, you know, just saying that you're angry just is not a fucking, you know, really attractive election slogan. I mean, really?
Well, you know, but it's the whole, you know, can you make it a referendum instead of being about you at all, if it's just about the other guy sucking?
Well, the primary campaign here in Florida, that all of them have been pretty much about showing how the other guy sucked.
Right.
That was really all the campaign rhetoric. For the governor's race between Bill McCullough and Rick Scott, on the Senate side, between Marco Rubio, Charlie Crist, and all the other guys, Kendrick Meek on the Democratic side, and Jeff Green. You know, everybody, I mean, the campaign commercials were just, you know, all about that. So, you know, how do you turn this, you know, so getting, you know, the reason we're talking about this is because the honor rally, and it's just, I mean, all these events, you get all these people together, they show they're angry, but yet you can't, like, head them in one direction. And a lot of Republicans are uncomfortable. Look, the other guy that I saw in an interview this week on TV, which I got to admit that I didn't like him that much before, but I got to admit I like him a lot more now than before, was Bloomberg, okay?
Okay.
And Bloomberg was pretty much like, you know, he's a Republican, you know. He's a fiscal conservative.
Isn't he officially an independent at this point? Here's his history. He was a lifelong Democrat. He switched to a Republican just to run for mayor of New York because there was too much competition on the Democratic side, but he felt he could win the Republican primary. So he won the Republican primary, became mayor of New York, and then within a year or so, said that he didn't really like the Republicans anymore, he was going to be an independent. And I think that's okay. Where he is now.
So he is an independent right now. Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Well, you know, the one thing is that he was just on TV and he was just talking about the fact that's like, you know, I went to school. They taught me about the Constitution. And I'm like, keep wondering, haven't any of these people that are criticizing me read the fucking document? They didn't have the fuck, but, you know. I mean, it's a very simple thing. Very simple question.
Well, yeah. So to wrap this up, I think that, you know, here's another one of these rallies. I think a lot of this is even only marginally political. It's self-promotion for a lot of these people like Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
But the interesting thing to watch as the Republicans go forward, and like you said, there was a lot of talk about this, but it's been sort of spotty in terms of how it's materialized or not, is are the Republicans going to start nominating on all of these races lots of, you know, sort of conservative fringe players who, like, are absolutely hardcore, go after the base conservatives that, you know, can win Republican primaries but will have a difficult time in general elections, at least in states where it's, you know, remotely competitive. There are, of course, some states where it's not. You know, or are they going to, you know, still, I hesitate to say moderate because most of the moderates have already, you know, been run out of national offices. But people closer to the center, at least, who actually have a, you know, a better shot at general elections. I mean, it's the old question in terms of, do you want, when like a party nominates their candidate, do they want someone who's ideologically pure, or do they want one who can win an election?
Well, I think the Republicans, in a lot of races, not all of them, but in a number of races, basically this year, have basically ejected almost anybody who is not ideologically pure.
So, on that note, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the primaries and the kind of results we've been seeing so far. So we'll be right back.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we're back. So we transitioned there, and we're starting to talk about the results we're seeing on the Republican side for, you know, are we – Yvonne ended the last segment by saying, you know, in a lot of the results so far, the Republicans are sort of ejecting the people who are less ideologically pure.
In a number of cases, not all.
But not all. Been very mixed results. I mean, like you said, you know, a lot of people were talking about, oh, there's this anti-incumbent thing. All of the incumbents are going to lose. We're going to get all of these Tea Partiers and, you know, ideologically pure people who can never possibly win a general election.
Right.
And I think we've seen very mixed results so far. That has happened in a couple of races. Well, it's yet to be seen whether these people can win general elections or not. We have to wait till November for that, of course.
Right.
But they have, in a few cases, nominated people who you would normally think, wait, really? You know, like Rand Paul, for instance, and we talked about him a few weeks ago, and there's some others. But in a number of cases, and John McCain is a typical example here, you know, they did nominate the mainstream guy who's been in there forever. And, you know, as much as in order to win his primary, McCain tacked even further to the right than he did, you know, in the Republican primaries in 2008. You know,
shit. I mean, he looks like a Republican McCain from last year looks like a communist compared to how he ran this campaign.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, it's still John McCain, and you know, he's got a multi-decade record of, you know, actually not being as far right as he's been saying he is lately. You know. And who knows what he'll actually do when he gets back into office. I mean, if he wins, he gets another 6 years. And surely at the end of that 6 years, he's going to retire. He's not going to try to do a Strom Thurmond and go until he's 102, or a Robert Byrd. Or maybe he will. I don't know. But, yeah, he certainly could get back in there and revert to how he used to be. Or I don't know what he might do. He's been very unpredictable lately. But the point is, overall, he's not the kind of, you know, throw the bums out, we're going to go for the ideologically pure guy that everybody's been like, oh, the Republicans are going to nominate a lot of these people, and then they're going to go down in flames in the next general election. That's not happening. And, of course, that what I just said is actually contradictory with the other thing, which is people expect the Republicans to make significant gains in Congress this cycle. So actually what I've heard people saying is they actually expect some of these extreme right-wing people to win, get into Congress, and then spend the next 2 years pissing people off and then cause a major Republican loss in 2.5 years.
And that's not implausible. If you think about, look at the combination of things that could happen. I was seeing some polling results compare, say, Reagan and other presidents at about this stage of of their first term, and Obama's ratings are actually higher than a lot of them. Okay, the only guys that actually had a huge advantage over them were the both Bushes because they were in a war.
Yeah.
All the others, for the most part, were behind. Clinton was way behind in approval. So was Reagan and others. So I got to say that even though – and this is something we'll talk about later about how the economy is a little bit slow. But even though right now he is in an approval rating that I'll say is probably only in the mid-40s, okay, given the numbers, if the economy turns around, which I believe it will, okay,
in time for 2012, not in time for this November.
No, not for this election, but in time for 2012, he'll be in the driver's seat for that election. He'll be tough to beat because a couple of things will have happened. First of all, they'll realize that there wasn't a communist takeover of the country. Well, that's one of the big selling points of the Republicans. What happens when you get to 2012 and it didn't happen? What the fuck you tell them now?
Yeah. So.
That story could only run so long, okay? That's one of the reasons why, talking about, the GM is finally filing its IPO, for example. And the one thing about that is that in one of the magazines that I was reading, the Economist, they were talking about how they had been concerned about how in the UK 20, 30 years ago, most of the major auto manufacturers were nationalized and that was a mess, and, the government running business. But, they actually praised Obama for actually taking a risky gamble that in the end, is probably going to be profitable for the government or at least not cause a loss. But the second thing they praised him was the fact that everybody, they said that anybody that called him a socialist was totally disingenuous because they certainly did not try to run GM or did very little influence while GM was under a reorganization and that they tried to get rid of it as quickly as possible, which they were surprised that did happen in the speed that it did. And basically they summarized that anybody who's called him out as that is very disingenuous because it's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think that on a lot of people, especially if the economy picks up, they see that there are no death panels. They see that there are none of these things. I mean, you can only run those stories so long without people finally just saying, okay, what a bullshit story. Okay. I mean, really, come on.
So I apologize. I sort of phased for a second here because you mentioned the presidential approval ratings. So I wanted to bring up a tool for our listeners to check out if they haven't, because it's pretty pretty cool.
Okay.
If you Google, this should come up, USA Today Presidential Approval Tracker.
It's got USA Today Presidential Approval Tracker. Okay, I'm going to look it up myself.
It's got a neat little interactive tool where you can look at each individual president from Harry Truman to Barack Obama. And look at their approval ratings over the course of their time period, or look at the whole 50-year span, or even cooler, go to a comparison view and pick presidents you want to compare and see them overlaid on top of each other. And so you can see exactly the comparison. So if you want to see Barack Obama versus George W. Bush, you can do that, whatever. I've heard a number of people say the biggest similarity right now, and you may have mentioned this, is Ronald Reagan. Barack
That's
Obama
right.
and Ronald Reagan, the presidential approval ratings from the beginning of their term to this point in their term, which is just under 600 days in, it ties together very nicely if you look at them.
Because they had a very similar thing. I mean, when Reagan came into office, my God, the economy went into a frickin' tailspin. I mean, layoffs and inflation and interest rates soared, and it was a pretty bad. It was very bad, as a matter of fact. I mean, so I actually think that Obama has. And I'm trying to pull that up, but I'm not being able to get it.
Oh, did you not find it, or is it not coming?
I put in USA Today Presidential Approval Tracker.
Okay, so I will give the URL then, because Google's not being helpful. It's www.usatoday.com/news/Washington/presidential-approval-tracker.htm.
Presidential hyphen approval
hyphen
hyphen
tracker.htm.
Tracker.htm. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay, yeah, that works. There you go. So, anyway, so it was that loads on my computer. So, I guess that if you see it based on historical numbers, as I mentioned, he's probably not in as bad a situation as some people would think he is.
Well, and again, you know, the bottom line, yes, he's not in as bad a situation as people think. Quite a few presidents who've been at this level of approval have been reelected. But we've said this before. Bottom line, look at the economy. That'll tell you everything you need to know.
And as a matter of fact,
that's how that goes.
I'm looking at this. WW had lower ratings to Barack Obama at the same time. The only thing that saved this ass was the fucking September 11th.
Yes, well, not at this same time.
Yeah, actually at the same time. I'm looking at the chart right now.
At the 600-day mark in the George W.
No, you're right. Sorry about that. Yeah. Wait, hold on a second.
Looking at the wrong bush?
Hang on. I'm clicking the button here. Yeah, you're right. Not at the same time. That's right. Yeah, because obviously this happened way before. Okay, right.
Yeah, so anyway, but look at the economy. It's going to tell you everything you need to know. I mean, not everything, but like, come on. It's going to be the big factor, unless it isn't. the question is, of course, like, if the economy is still bad, then that will be a predominant topic in the election. If economy recovers and is going nicely and nothing else big has happened, then it's going to be a cakewalk for Obama. If something else happens, like a major terrorist attack between now and the 2012 elections, or some other unforeseen major thing that changes everything, then who the hell knows, you know? But
all bets are off. Exactly.
I mean, God damn it, we're 2.5 years away. We have no fucking clue. Come on.
that's pretty much that's reality. So
you know, I think we do have a clue on what's happening this November, which is that the Republicans are definitely going to make gains in Congress. They may make gains elsewhere. The question is how big. Do they actually take control over the House or even the Senate? You know, I've seen things that say their odds in the House are pretty it's not a certainty or anything, but it's not bad in the House. Senate is a little bit longer odds, but it's still possible. They would have to kind of run a whole bunch of races. But, you know, I've said before many times, and I know I'm getting repetitive on this point, I like divided government. I think you actually get better results than the situation we have right now. Because the bottom line right now is the Republicans have absolutely no motivation to make deals and make things happen with the Democratic president. And because of the way the Senate works, that makes it very, very hard to get anything that is remotely controversial through the Congress. If you have Republicans actually in control of Congress, then guess what? They get some of the blame for whatever does or does not happen. They actually have to spend some time governing. And that means they have to actually get things, they have to pass things.
Right. Otherwise, they're going to get the blame for not doing shit, which
means
has happened before.
They have to play with the Democrats in Congress, and they have to play with the president, and the president has to play with them. He doesn't have a choice of, like, just blaming it on the obstructionist Republicans.
Newt and his gang came in, originally, they tried to play a totally obstructionist card, and they wouldn't cut a deal on anything, and they shut down the government, and the people that got the blame wound up being them. And they wound up getting killed in the next election.
You know, so, you know, if we get that same scenario and the Republicans take over all or part of Congress, then there's going to be that strategy question. Do they play that obstructionist game, and does it happen the same as it did last time around, where they end up getting blamed and then they lose in the following election? Or do they learn from that and say, you know, okay, it's time to start making some deals? In which case, we might get some interesting things start to happen where you actually get something that are interesting synthesis of, you know, the kinds of policies being advocated by the two sides, and you get some forward progress on some interesting things. I mean, like, you know, the 1994 example is very good. You know, what happened after 1994? Well, first of all, you also had the Ross-Perot factor, where everybody was scared shitless of the Perot voters. We don't have that this time around. But all of a sudden, it's like everybody on both sides agreed that they'd had a wake-up lesson and the deficit was suddenly important. And so things actually happened for the first time in forever, you know, to do that. You know, of course, it got undone a couple years later, but, you know, whatever. Anyway.
All right. Okay.
Let's take a break. We'll be back in a moment with some more stuff on some other stuff.
Absolutely.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Wonder Woman goes grocery shopping as Diana Prince, and discovers that evil doesn't always carry a gun or wear a goofy costume. By Wendy Babiak. Clark had shopped the week before, and Bruce got as little peace as Mr. Wayne as in The Mask and Cape. We needed juice, eggs, and milk, the stuff to make chow mein, which Brainiac hankered for, and luncheon meats and bread. We cooked with Whole Foods when we could, and found kitchen work a sound retreat from the world we felt misunderstood us and our endeavor. And snacks for Flash, whose wild metabolism extracted tribute that would have made the greedy Romans blush. So I stood reading type minute enough to be illegible, and saw a list of chemicals on a can of juice, labeled, largely, all natural.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org, with a new poet each week, and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we are back. So, Yvonne, when I wasn't paying attention to you earlier while I was looking for polls, did you say your piece on GM and the economy, or is there more to talk about on those topics?
Well, I talked a little bit about the GM IPO, but the one thing that we didn't talk about is the economy. Okay. And I guess it's just I talk a little bit about the fact that the economy, the economic numbers that have come out last couple of months have shown that the economy is not a recession, but it's slow. Okay, yes. There's very little job creation happening right now.
If you look at charts that show sort of the pace of the recovery, like the recession, you know, people forget, you know, and just to be clear here, the recessions are defined as the period of negative growth. So it's if you have a graph of the, you know, quote unquote economy, whatever's the right metric for that, there are all kinds of different metrics you can look at. But the recession is the part where you're going down. It ends when you start going back up, not when you regain the peak that you had before.
That's right.
You know, and whereas a lot of people psychologically sort of feel like, you know, you're not actually out of it until you're back where you were.
Right.
You know, in some way, sense, or form, you know, either for the economy in general or for people personally, like, you know, you don't feel like you've recovered from a recession until your finances are just as good or better as they were when it started, you know? And there's got to be some term for that, but that's not what recession means. But, you know, what we're seeing here is we've had the dip and we've started to do recovery, but it's a very, very, very slow recovery. And I've seen some models saying that, you know, we won't get back to pre-recession peaks on all sorts of metrics for years.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for it. One of the things that I noticed is a lot of people, even though interest rates are low, are not either are unwilling to borrow money or are unable to borrow money. Okay, for multiple reasons. You know, more stringent credit requirements. The fact that a lot of people you have a high percentage of Americans underwater under homes. So therefore, even though interest rates have gone down, they can't refinance. And so therefore, you can't take advantage of the lower rates. Okay? Even if it's not that you're taking out money, it's just to take advantage of the lower payment that you would get just because interest rates drop. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some people pushing some proposals out there to actually push banks to get out of the current rules, which prevent most people from refinancing, and to actually just, you know what, if you're a good paying customer, you've been paying your bill on time, and you got a higher rate, fuck it, we'll lower it. That's it. Okay? You know, there has been proposals like that in order to try to stimulate the economy. There's discussion about extending temporarily the Bush tax cuts for an extra year. Now, honestly, I don't think that's going to do anything for the fucking economy, because most of the people who are getting a tax cut are people who are not spending the fucking money. But that's one of the ones that's floating out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a number of other things. The chairman of the Federal Reserve is trying to said that he was going to try to use some unusual tactics in order to try to spur a little bit of the economy, because one of the things they're worried is about deflation.
Right.
Okay. So. We certainly don't want that. So there's a lot of stuff going around in order to try to get the economy going again. But one thing is that versus all of this, corporate profits actually did equal in the last quarter what their peak was before the recession. Even though the stock market is this far, is much further down.
Mm-hmm.
It's this very strange thing when corporate profits are so high, but yet – That is not being translated into job creation. So, you know, we're in uncharted territory right now with this thing. Okay.
Well, and you know, a lot of it, a big part of it, is what consumers are doing too. I'll give a and consumers and credit card debt and all that kind of crap. Like, I'll give you some examples here. I have spent money. You know, like I was saying on the show, I spent a couple thousand on a new entertainment center a few weeks back. It's really cool, by the way, just to say that. But but you know, I haven't, or we haven't in this household, added one penny to our credit card debt in a couple years now. You know, every single time we have used any one of those cards, we've paid off that particular amount in full. That month, and we're routinely paying significantly more than our minimum balances to pay down existing debt from previously. And, you know, and of course, this is the last thing the banks want.
Right.
You know, and you know what the response has been? Almost every single one of my credit card. Well, there was, I think, one card that as we paid down actually lowered our limit to, like, you stay just above what we had.
But oh, for the love of God.
Yeah, like, so we had, like, I forget how much on some card, but we, you know, paid off like $1,000 on it, and so they lowered our credit limit by 800, you know.
Okay.
But whatever. But that was one card. Every other card
increased your
is
limit.
Our increasing our limit. You know, I have, you know, one, and it seems like every few weeks I get another notice from one of these card companies saying, hey, we've increased your limit by another $2,000. Come spend some money. And we're like, yeah, whatever. You know? No thank you.
Oh, yeah. You know, all they could do is, like, put hookers in front of you and try to go and spend money. You're still not spending it. And that's how a lot of people are doing that.
You know, I've got one. I'm pretty sure at least one of my cards is at this point enough that I could buy a car, you know, on the card. You know, a cheap ass car, but you know, and I'm like, really?
Well, would it be the interest rate? I mean, I don't know,
30% or something. It would be stupid.
Wow. Oh, know? Boy, no, forget about that.
but yeah, so you know, because people are being very, very, and it's not just me. I've seen numerous articles saying that this is a. People are being very conservative about their spending. They're being very conservative about adding new debt. They're saying, you know, we kind of got screwed by this, you know, earlier. We're not going to do it again. And so we're going to think very carefully about this stuff. We're not going to automatically say, hey, the credit card company has offered me an extra $1,000, so I'm going to go out and buy something right now, you know, which a lot of people were doing before. And, you know, and so... You know, plus you've got the additional credit card rules that came into place a few weeks back. But people just aren't doing the go out and shop thing. You know, and you know, it reminds me of, you know, it was W right after September 11th, right? When people asked him, what should Americans be doing in response to this? And he said, go out and shop, you know? You know, because that's one thing that probably would help kickstart things, but nobody's going to do it because they've all been burnt.
Yeah, they've all, that's exactly right. So, sorry about that.
Just a little death from the Yvonne side of the call.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay, so that's the economy, I guess. I mean, a lot of I've heard increasing talk about people saying that that they're really worried about a double dip. You're still not worried about a double dip?
I don't think we'll get a double dip. You know, I think that certainly there's been some deceleration, but you know, I don't see it. I don't see it yet.
I've seen a number of reports that say, look, you know, we had a bunch of things in play. We had stimulus dollars in play. We had people, you know,
but there's still stimulus dollars unspent.
I know. There's still plenty. But people saying, you know, we had all these housing credits. We had other things in play that were artificially causing things. And then, you know, like that listen, housing report that came out a few weeks ago after all those things expired just plummeted, you know, and.
Yeah. But that's a short-term blip. I got to tell you that I've seen – I'll tell you what. I live in Florida, which is a housing market that has been most affected by everything that's been happening. And I live in a condo, which is one of the things that's been most affected. Now, granted, you know, we live in a very good area that's always had decent real estate. But even this area got hit hard during the whole recession. Now, I will tell you that last year – I don't think there were a total of 10 condo sales in this complex at all out of a total of 200 units. We've had more than 10 in the last 2 months, 2 to 3 months. And the prices have been going up, okay? So I think that it's just – if I'm looking
– Hello? Yvonne?
Kidnapper! Hello!
Hey, you muted yourself again.
Oh, no. I did something worse. I accidentally unplugged the headset.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So I've seen that I've seen a lot of acceleration in real estate, and I will tell you that I've seen a lot of companies in South Florida, which one of the first places that probably the economy hit on the downside first, I've seen customers buying shit. A lot of them. So my thinking is that, you know, that we are going to be in a – the economic recovery is slow. People are tentative. They're really thinking about decisions a lot more. But I think that as they see profits and they see things improving, that they'll be less reticent, okay, to go back. And I'll tell you that if a couple of different measures are passed by the government, if they do a couple of different things, it could really help the economy speed up a lot faster. Like one of the things, like what they said, for example, to give a break to people that are paying their mortgages on time. I think that that's a freaking brilliant idea, you know, and if they do that, I think that a lot of people will sigh a breath of relief, because I think that that will actually forestall people doing what's been happening lately a lot. People that have just been defaulting on their mortgages because simply they're like, well, but what the hell? I'm getting fucked. Everybody else who's not paying their fucking mortgages is getting a deal, and I've been paying everything on time, and I'm just getting fucked. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so one last economy note. You mentioned Florida real estate, so I had to look it up again. The house I sold in 2006 has now lost 50% of its value, according to Zillow, which has some issues, but since I sold it in 2006. September 2006, I sold it. It is lost just slightly less than 50%, so it's slightly above the 50% mark right now.
50% less than what you sold it for, correct?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, you should feel really good about yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
you should call what's his fuck, the stupid fuck that screwed you at that company, and thank him.
That's right. Well, it peaked during the time we owned it. So we ended up just about breaking even on the price from where we bought it and where we sold it. Now, if you count the interest we paid, okay, we took a little bit of loss, but at least we psychologically.
Yeah, but remember, no, though that, but you got to factor taxes, that if you would have rented the rental cost of owning,
yeah,
so therefore,
yeah, 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 So, okay. Yeah, so we ended up selling it for like $1,000 more than we bought it for or something like that. Essentially flat. But, you know, since then it's dropped, and it was somewhere in between when we bought it and sold it, it was slightly higher. But, you know, I consider us getting out of that pretty good, you know, because, you know, if we'd waited any longer, we would have been completely fucked.
You would have been totally fucked. You wouldn't have sold. I mean, that thing would have been an anvil around your neck. You'd never been able to get up.
And I will repeat, I think I mentioned this on the podcast before. I'm looking at a Bing image right now because it's what Zillow has, but I've looked at Google Street Map views too. Like, as far as I'm concerned, they fucked the place up, like, whoever bought it from us. Because, like, we had, like, some nice, like, trees and bushes surrounding it, and so it had, like, you know, shade and some places, and it had some nice landscaping around it. They just ripped out all the shrubbery and trees, and it's just, it's grass and bare dirt where the trees used to be.
Oh, well, that looks a lot better than grass and bare dirt looks a lot better than trees.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at this, and it's like there's a pile of dirt and sand to the side of the house where there used to be a line of trees. I'm like...
Beautiful!
Yeah.
Oh, man. The guy's a genius. Absolutely. Okay.
You know, and
wow.
So, anyway, I feel sorry for those trees, you know, but whatever. Okay, let's take
a
break. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, that's real estate for you.
You know, yeah, whatever.
You know?
Okay, all right. We'll be back after this and talk about some random things and then finish up. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Okay, Vaughn, we're back. So let's see. We had a former GOP head who ran George W. Bush's campaign come out of the closet this last week. Anything interesting to say about that?
Well, it's just, you know, the only interesting thing to say about that, it's not that it's anything like, you know, why am I shocked that this guy is gay or anything? It's not to do that. It's just that, you know, why the fuck are all these damn anti-gay people? I mean, why are these guys gay and then being so profoundly anti-gay? I just don't get it. It's like really drives me crazy.
You know, and you know, you look at his quotes and he's like, I just recently came to this realization. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, bullshit. Come on. You see, that's even the most disingenuous shit about this. You know? Oh, yeah, I only recently realized I was gay. I'm like, for the love of God.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting watching the reactions, too, because I think it also points out another one of these splits in the Republican Party. Apparently, a lot of the people who actually worked with him, including, like, you know, George W. Bush, he talked to before he did this, and he's like, they're very supportive, blah, 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 of my decision, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then there are a bunch of other people saying, you know, you kept it to yourself for 30 years. Why couldn't you keep keeping it to yourself? You know, and saying various other, you know, random
very things. Very lovely stuff, right.
You know, and I saw one post somewhere on that just collected a bunch of these quotes, and I'm like, really? Come on, people. You know, but, you know, and he says he picked this time to do it because now he's going to be attending some, you know, events advocating for gay marriage and things like that. You know, whereas, of course, he worked on a campaign where parts of the plank were the exact opposite. And, you know, I'm not saying every job you have to sort of agree with absolutely everything going on. God knows I've had jobs where I haven't agreed with everything that's going on. But especially if you're in politics, I guess the bottom line is you could say, well, you know, I agreed with W on 80% of things, and, you know, the hefty paycheck he was giving me made me forget about the other 20. I don't know.
And let me tell you something. I don't see there's anything wrong with that. I just the problem is that given how unaccepting they have been of gays, the whole anti-gay marriage thing, the whole very homophobic thing. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just very hypocritical. What the hell you want me to tell you? I mean, it is. It totally is. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. And you know, you see this, and you've seen this a number of times before. I mean, where, and we've talked about this before, and it's not even just the homophobic stuff. It's also sort of the family values kind of stuff, where you get these people, and we talked about Newt Gingrich a couple weeks ago, who, you know, are going out in speeches and pumping their hands up and down, talking about, you know, the way life should be, about how families should be, about how people should behave in marriages, blah, 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 the sanctity of marriage and all this crap. And then right. In their personal lives, they do the exact freaking opposite. Either the Newt Gingrich type, where he's busy, like, cheating on his wives while they're dying of cancer, or, you know, or he's, or you have people like, what was the senator in Idaho?
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
The guy with the wide stance in the airport bathroom.
Oh, God. Craig. Wasn't it Craig?
You know, it's like, and here's the thing. Here's the thing that baffles me, too. You get these sanctimonious pricks who are all like hypocritical about all this shit. They get caught. They say, I'm sorry. And then most of the time they're like, oh, okay, you're sorry. And everybody forgives them. And every once in a while they get run out of town on a rail. But at least half the time, these guys end up coming back and continuing to be viable candidates and working on blah, 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 blah. And maybe it's this whole, like, right-wing Christian forgiveness thing. I don't know. But, like, at the same time, you get, like, you know, Bill Clinton getting a blowjob in the White House, and you get, you know, a 2-year rigmarole about it. And you know, all these same people saying he should be run out of town and all this kind of stuff. And it seems like, you know, Bill Clinton being an exception and actually surviving this thing, it seems like very often when Democrats get caught in this kind of shit, their careers are over. The Republicans seem to survive all the time. And it's like, but meanwhile, the Democrats, for the most part, keep their mouths shut about this kind of stuff. And the Republicans are constantly talking about it. But, yeah, I know there are exceptions. I mean, John Edwards, you know, he's not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, no, he's pretty much toast.
He's an example of a Democrat actually being out for that kind of stuff. But then you get, like, Barney Frank, who had some issues of that sort. I mean, he was always out, but there was a controversy a number of decades ago about a prostitution ring being run out of his apartment or something.
That one of his boyfriends running a prostitution ring out of his apartment, right.
Yeah, and he's still there. So, I mean, there are exceptions on both sides, but I don't know. It just boggles my mind all the time the way that, you know, people can be so, I mean, like, again, I said this when we were talking about Newt. I respect the people who are like, you know, my wife, you know, my wife and I have had an interesting relationship. We've both had our issues. We've decided to stay together because, you know, we like each other, but we're not necessarily, you know, we have an open relationship now, or we had issues in the past, but we're over it and it's none of your business, or, you know, or whatever, or just to plain out, like, it's none of your business, you know, but it's the people who are like, you know, railing about these things and then doing something completely different in private that just always get me, especially when they do it and then get away with it. It's like, I don't know.
Anyway, all right. Well, yes. Are we run our course? Is that it? Or do we have anything else? Well, we said that we weren't going to talk about what we weren't going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. You may have noticed we have not mentioned in any way, shape, or form the September 1st Apple scheduled announcement related to media products. Rumors on the table are, you know, new iPods, new Apple TV. You know, there are a lot of things surrounding those. But, you know, we'll talk about that after we actually know what's happening. And
yeah, because we'll just, you know, we could going to say a whole bunch of bullshit about it, but by the time this podcast comes out, it'll probably all be irrelevant anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we'll talk about that next week. Let's see, Hurricane Earl's going up the East Coast, it looks like it'll probably miss anything interesting. But if it takes a left turn, it could be a major hurricane hitting New York City, and that would be really cool. Well, not cool, but exciting, maybe.
You would find it cool. But anyway, all right.
disaster, mayhem. Anyway,
absolutely.
Whatever. There's some other miscellany crap, but nothing really too exciting. So we'll close it up and talk to everybody next week. As usual, email me, abelsmay@abelsmay.com, with questions, comments, thoughts, and we will get back to you on this show in a subsequent week. Tell your friends to listen, and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.